Number 16, beginning at verse 1, we're going to be talking this afternoon about the rebellion of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. How many of you ever heard those characters in the Bible before? Anybody? The strangers who you have, okay. They all was leaders from different tribes during the wilderness experience with Moses. Moses about to take them from Egypt to the promised land, but had some trouble along the way. We first experienced Miriam and Aaron. Remember Miriam and Aaron that spoke against Moses because he married the Ethiopian woman? That was the last session, right? Now, we're about to experience what we call collective rebellion. Collective rebellion when you have a party of more than one or a group that gather together against authority. Collective rebellion. When a party gathers together against rebellion, and it happened. It happened back then, and it's still happening today. But it's always start with one person that's dissatisfied and begin to spread rebellious thoughts, ideas, and it spread like a contagious disease. Rebellion is contagious. And if you hang around rebellious people, rebellious group too long, it's going to get on you. It's like a disease. If you don't watch it, it can cause your life to be miserable and maybe even destroy it. Maybe even die ahead of time. We've seen it happen in this lifetime. People went home. Yeah, they may have gone home to be with the Lord, but they went a little bit early than they should have, okay? So, Numbers 16, verse 1, began saying, "Now Korah, the son of Issachar, the son of Kohat, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram, the son of Eliab, and On, the son of Pelet, sons of Reuben, took men, and they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assembly, families in the congregation, men of renown." Now, what do you mean, families? Families mean these people were well known among the children of Israel. And that's who people will listen to. People will listen to someone that had been around a while. They will listen to someone who seemed to have a position in society. People that seem to have a voice. And people that carry, their words carry weight. You know what I mean, carry weight. People listen to you. People not just going to listen to anybody. But certain people you're going to listen to, you say they might know what they're talking about. And now let's look at some of the qualifications of these men. The first thing about them is you're dealing with the Levites. The Levites represented the spiritual ones. They were the ones that was called by God to work in the temple, to serve and minister to the people that came before God in the temple. So they call them the spiritual ones because they dealt with spiritual matters. And then there were Dathan and Abiram. There were sons of Reuben, and they stood for the leading ones. They stood for the people that led communities, head up communities, took charge over matters in the community, represented the one that stood for leadership. Now, the spiritual ones on one hand, Dathan and Abiram, the leading ones. They think they're the ones that should be running things. Almost say that. Almost like in certain churches, certain part of the church think they run the church, and the pastor just a paid preacher. You know, some deacons. I just have to say it. They think they run the local church. They think they're the leading ones. And try to tie the man of God hand behind his back. Well, you can't move. I won't almost say something else. See, you got to weigh these things out to see whether these things are appropriate to say at the time. And that's why you've got to be careful. Everything not to be said. Not that it's wrong what I was about to say. Not that it was comical. But sometimes people can take, it can be misleading to others, but I know what I want to say. And my job is not to offend anyone, but to teach. And I might use examples, but my aim is never to put anybody down, but we live in the real world, right? So I'm trying to give live example of reality of what's really happening in the world, in the church world, in society, in religious circles, okay? Now, the Levites stood for what now? The spiritual ones. Because they had some of the spiritual orders within the church. The orders, they offered the incense. They made sure the preparation was taken care of for the sacrifices. And so that represents God, represents spiritual matters. And it wasn't a light matter. It was a great matter before God. And you have to be someone that God chose. And so God chose the Leviticus tribe to handle the spiritual matter. And they were, God trained them in that area, so they'll know what to do, how to respect the altar, how to respect God, to know the law concerning the sacrifices. So you weren't ignorant of spiritual things. And now we got the leading ones, Dathan and Abiram, I'm repeating myself. They stood for the leaders in the tribe. They took care of the leading matters. People look for leadership in you. And you can build leadership. At the same time, you can overreach your authority in leadership. You got to know your range of authority. You got to know your role of authority. You got to stay within your realm. You got to know how far you can go. Know how far you can go. Can't go. Yeah, if you're on jobs, you're on secular things, you got to know in ministry. I'm in the position of authority in ministry, but there's a line that, oh, I just can't cross. That's apostle. There's some things sometimes I want to say when I'm counseling, but I say, oh, I can't say that. Apostles make corrections. All I do is give direction according to the word of God. You see it? But apostle is the one that have to do the correcting for protection. You see it? So you got to know your range of authority. Well, Dathan and Abiram, for some reason, got away and did not know. They took a natural thing that Moses was leading them. Could it be they thought they were equal to Moses? Could it be, I'm saying this now, that some people in leadership position think they're equal with apostle? They happen to use that. That's how people get in error spiritually, because they think they're equal. And we can share things shoulder to shoulder, man to man. And don't know the government that God has set up always has someone in authority. All right? Now, let's move on a little bit now. And I'm trying to set the stage for what's about to happen here. They're about to challenge Moses and Aaron for their failure. What do you mean their failure? They're going to say in the latter verse, next verse, you did not bring us to a place of milk and honey. Matter of fact, you took us from a place of milk and honey. How can you say Moses took them from Egypt, which was a place of milk and honey, short-term memory, when they were in bondage? They were slaves. They made brick. And then Pharaoh got so upset, he said, you're going to make bricks without straw. And you're going to keep your same quota that you were making before. He used to provide the straw for them. Now he said, you got to go get your own straw to make the bricks. and you make sure you make the same call you were making before, which was an impossible task. But then the taskmasters then made sure they put more pressure up on them, and they work longer hours, and they work harder, and they're going to say, the adapter to say, he took it from a land of milk and honey. Oh, because if you go to the other chapters, oh, because we ate without light. We ate meat and onions and garlic, and they start naming all their favorite food they got accustomed to in Egypt. You're going to see when we're not going to get here now, but well, God gave them manna, they were crying for them, but they wanted meat. Start complaining. So these people were forever complaining, but the Bible called it murmuring. Murmuring. Anybody know what murmuring is? And according to Webster, it's a quiet, soft complaint that you think you shoo-shoo into your brother or your sister. Two people shoo-shooing together. But they think God doesn't hear it. They're murmuring. A quiet, silent, seems almost silent, complaint. Dissatisfaction. I don't like the way things going on here. They're still doing it today. The Bible just keep repeating this. I mean, people keep repeating the same. There's nothing different under the sun. They're still murmuring today. In the churches. Well, pastor didn't have to preach that long. He preached like we ain't got to come back to church. And what's happening is, it sounds like I'm just telling it to the person right next to me. But you remember Miriam and Moses? They spoke against Moses. Then the Bible said, and the Lord heard it. See, so sometimes people complaining, they're shoo-shooing, they're being rebellious, and they think God don't hear it. God hear it in your closet. God hear it in the privacy of your car with the window roll up, even if you can't hear nothing from the outside. God hear it. And then I've learned through Revelation, rebellious word, when they come out of your mouth, they'll stand directly to heaven and heard by God. There's nothing escaped the ear of God. So what's my point? People think they get away with saying wrong things. And people get away and they don't repent. Because I didn't say it to no one. I didn't say it to no one. And now they're carrying this rebellion and they don't know God got records of this stuff. God dealing with this thing. And you just being numbered. Your days are numbered. What do you mean my days are numbered? You know, people's days are numbered because it just, you ever heard the statement, the straw I thought of it at the day that broke the camel's back? You know what I mean? You ever heard it before? What it means is that other little one extra thing you say that God said enough. God said enough. I got to judge it now. I let them go too far hoping they repent, but it's enough. This is where I draw the line at. And you're not going to say another word. I got to deal with you now. See, God, see, that's, remember in Revelation, this woman, Jezebel, the Bible said God gave him what? A space to do what? Repent. God is long-suffering. And what he does is he'll let you go, but we think we're getting by because everything, nothing seemed like it changed in our life. But God's saying, let him repent. He hit Jesus, hope they repent. Holy Spirit, I hope they repent. But if they go on and on and on and don't make no adjustment, even though the man of God preaching to them, somebody telling them, and they know God always going to let you know some kind of way that what you say was wrong. But if you don't repent, God said, that's it. It's time to judge them. Now watch these people here. Their time ran out on them. God had enough. Now look, let's go back to Miriam. I didn't say this last time we met. Miriam, that wasn't the first time Miriam been saying that, but Moses. But her time was up. You understand what I'm saying? She had stated one time too many and didn't make no correction. So it's not the first time you say something. Not the second time you say something. It's not the third time you say something. It's not the fourth time, but when God said, I gave him a chance to repent. I don't know what God's timing is, but the Bible says he's long-suffering, full of mercy, and long-suffering. In other words, long-suffering means got so much patience. Oh, and God wants to judge us every time we said something wrong. You know how many pits we've been dug by the time we're 25? Time we 50? 55? Keep going. But anyway, let's see what's fixing to happen here. This ain't good here. This ain't good. Everybody see this ain't good. It ain't good. It ain't good. It's never good. God don't never want to judge his children. God rather be a blesser instead of a judger. God's the God of blessing. He don't want to have to judge. If they were just stuck fast with Moses, they would have received the blessing, but now they're being judged. Children in home, if they just do what's right, they can receive the blessing and not being judged. People on the job, if they just keep doing what's right, they receive the blessing, the bonus and the raise, raises and raises, promotion, instead of being judged. Judged for what? Not doing what they told you to do, not being efficient, not being on time, not following the rules, not respecting the leadership. I mean, all these little things matters. And all these things take account. And all these things adds up. And then you might be late for 15 days. And God, by that 16th day, they call you in. Because they're hoping you get it straight. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Now, let's go down to the 30 verse, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron and said unto them, ye take too much upon you, seeing that all the congregation are holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them, wherefore then lift ye up yourself above the congregation of the Lord. Let me stop. You think this is the first time they said this? No. This statement here, you take too much, it's been rehearsed over and over into each other's ears. This man Moses take too much upon himself. They finally got mustered up enough confidence and faith and faith to approach the man of God and call this summit. That's what it was. They called this summit for Moses and for Aaron to let them know it. Enough is enough. We took too much of your leadership, Moses, and your leadership is not leading us the right way. That's what it was saying. But this is a rehearsed statement. I wonder if you got in a rehearsed statement. Oh, Lord. I wonder if you've been saying things, complaining about your job over and over again to each other, your co-workers and stuff like that. And you know it's not right. But you take the natural stand against what you think ain't right. And you complaining and griping and murmuring and you dissatisfied. Don't you know God know what you're going through? Don't you know God take care of his own? Don't you know if you just stand still and let the Lord fight your battle, God will correct everything you need corrected on your job, in your home, in your family, instead of you complaining with the rest of the unbelievers? Why go down with them? I'm about to show you what's going to happen. God fixing to judge this thing. But watch what's fixing to happen. It's not nice. And God didn't really want to do it. But God had to do it. Isn't that something? Why? Because God sworn by his own word. If you be willing and obedient, God said, you eat the good of the land. But if you rebel, you read that in 1 Samuel. You see, if you rebel, God got to judge it. Can you see what I'm saying? No, why just now? Watch. Fourth verse. And when Moses heard it, who else heard it? If God heard it, who else heard it? The Lord heard it. It could have been very well stated what he said in the 12th chapter number. And the Lord heard it. But he said, and when Moses heard it, he fell upon his face. He learned this from the first episode with Miriam. He learned that time when Miriam was turned to leprosy, how he stood between God and Miriam. My goodness. He stood between God and Miriam to keep Miriam from being a leper forever. Her punishment was supposed to be a leper forever. But Moses reduced the sentence to 7 days. My goodness, Lord. Don't you glad you got somebody standing on your behalf? You glad you got a man of God to stand before you and stop the leprosy? Oh my God. Stop the ground from opening up? Oh my God. Stop the fire from falling from heaven on you? He's intervened. But oh, if you only hear him. If you only hear him. Stop him from dying ahead of time. You think he's just not trying to control your life? Telling you what to eat and how to do this? No, he's trying to preserve you for the days, with a prophetic voice of things to come. Oh, let the church see it. Let us see how awesome this is, this governor, this apostolic is, how he's putting us in a preservative state. But you got to have ears to hear. You got to have eyes to see. And a heart, I pray every day I move. Lord, give me ears to hear. Eyes to see. And a heart to understand what's being going, what's being said, what's being done. Because I don't want to get left behind. You don't want to get left behind. But if you refuse, you're going to get left behind. But we're not going to get left behind. Amen? Now, look. And he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, saying, even tomorrow, the Lord will show who are his and who is holy, and will cause him to come near to him, even him whom he had chosen, will he call to come near to him. What he's saying, it's almost, I thought about this like Elijah and the prophet of Baal, you know, when God dealt with Elijah. I still thought about this. Now he's saying, you got to tomorrow. I just saw this. To repent. My goodness. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to give it to tomorrow. Think this thing over a little bit. And see within your heart, this is your space to repent, to get things straight between you, your heart, and God. God don't do anything without giving us a chance. That was mercy. I just saw that. That was grace standing between us and God to let us know that have a heart change. Let God see. They could have went home and said, you know, man, this ain't worth it. Moses might be right. Moses might be listening to God. Let's take the benefit of the doubt that he is hearing from God. What could it hurt? Let's hold off, man, on this summit here. Let's cancel this thing. Let's not go through with it. We don't want to be a part of what's not God. This man, we saw what happened to Miriam. Wasn't that enough for some of us to understand? But it's short-term memory. Short-term memory is something. How quick we forget what the Lord had done for us. How quick we forget how the Lord spared us from destruction. How quick we forget when he made a way for us, when that looked like there was no way. And then we act out in some flesh thing and forget. My goodness, how quick. So we're going to say tomorrow. We're not doing nothing today. Let's wait till tomorrow. Give us some time to what? Cool off. Go cool off. And rethink this thing. He didn't say it, but if you're given some time, if you got any sense, what are we up against? Well, what position are we putting ourselves right here? Think about this, man. You know, you tell the man, man, let's think about this. But it's always there's somebody that's so bullheaded. Oh, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You just hush and you stick with us. And you still don't know how to stand for your own on your own feet. You got some people who can't stand for themselves. All we got to have some group leading them. All we got to ask somebody, what you think? What you think? No. Think for yourself. Don't let nobody trap you into doing something that you don't really want to do because the crowd going with it. The majority is not always right. You don't have to be with a group. It's sometimes you got to stand by yourself. You know, y'all go ahead. I'm not coming. I remember my little daughter. My little daughter, she's not a little daughter now, but when she was little, she married two children now. But she wanted to go with Iran. Iran was her first cousin. They're going to ride to Homer somewhere. And she said, Daddy, can I go ride to Homer with Iran? I said, yeah, baby, you can go. But when I walk away, the Lord said, no, she can't. No, I said, Lord, I just told you can go. Now I got to go tell you you can't. So I said, God, dog. So I went back and said, you can't go. It just don't seem right. Don't feel right. Oh, she bawled. She cried. She whined. By 11 o'clock that night, we got a phone call. They got in a bad accident. And they all had to go to the hospital. And I look at her. I said, you see why the Lord didn't want you to go? You might have been the one that Satan might have tried to take out. You might have been the kamikaze. You with me? So my point is that sometimes you got to settle down and make up your own mind. That's my point. Make up your own mind. Just because everybody is going, you don't have to go. The Lord tell you stay, you stay. I don't know how I got off on that, but that's true anyway. It's the truth. Now, look what else it said. The sixth verse. This do take you censers, Korah, talking about tomorrow, and all his company and all your group. Korah was the lead, was the spiritual one, right? And put fire therein, there were the Levites. And put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord do chose, he shall be holy. You can be the man. If the Lord chooses you, you can be the man. I shall be following you. Then Moses said, you take too much upon you, you sons of Levi. He put that same word back on them. And Moses said unto Korah, hear, I pray you, you sons of Levi. See me, it but a small thing unto you that the Lord God of Israel has separated you from the congregation of Israel to bring you near unto himself to do the service of the tabernacle of the Lord and to stand before the congregation and minister to them. Don't you think? It's a very powerful thing to stand in your position. You stand between God and the people, ministering to them, the work of the Lord. Don't you think that's an important task? That's not good enough for you? What more you want? God using you. More people would give their right arm to be in your position. That's what we're trying to encourage the people. It's not a small thing what you're doing here. God using you. But he ain't satisfied with that. And the 10th verse says, and he had brought thee near to him, and all thy brethren, the sons of Levi, with thee, and seek ye the priesthood also. Now, who is the priesthood? That's Aaron's job. You want to move Aaron out of his position, and you want to be the priest in Aaron's place? You want to be the pastor? They bring it to the day. You want to be apostle? You want to be in the pulpit and he sit down and listen to you? That's just what he's saying. You want to reverse roles? That's what he's saying. I'm trying to put it in every day. Sometimes people, they're not saying that, but they're saying that. Because sometimes they think they're smaller than the apostle. They think they're smaller than the leaders. They think they're smaller than people God has called them to submit to. In other words, you won't swap places then. If you got all the revelation, you see, sometimes people think they got apostles share one revelation, they got five more. I saw that. I already seen that before. They ain't new. He said, ain't never heard it before. Yeah, but I said that before. Now, sometimes apostles say, no, I knew you never heard it before. They be saying to him, yeah, I heard that before. They ain't gonna say it loud. So say, yeah, I heard that before. He ain't the first one to say that. They say things like that to themselves. I know people. Then the first time I heard that, he said it first. Yeah, no, that's people. But the days are numbered. And they don't know it. Ain't nobody in the world life like that. I know. Praise God. Hallelujah. But why just now? I didn't bring these things out as I see them. 11th verse says, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against who? Against the Lord. And what is Aaron that you murmur against him? See, they'll murmur against Moses and against Aaron here. And Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eli, which said, we will not come up. My goodness. No. Let's bring this down to today. See, it's hard to understand how the seriousness of this thing, because it's back 200-something years ago, 1,000 years, 2,000, 3,000, I don't know how many thousand years ago this was. Too long for me to remember. I wasn't born. You wasn't born either. But watch this now. What he's really saying is this, that, let me get back to my thought now. Let me look at it again. Yeah, we will not come up. What you're really saying is this. In today's vernacular, I got to use apostle because we know he's our spiritual leader. And just like apostle calling you, say, come on up. Because he want to deal with some thing. And you say, I ain't coming up. You see the severity of that? You wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't even think about doing that. You would run up, because I know your heart. But my point is this, though. So that's how disrespectful they was. We will not come up. My goodness, you told a man of God that to his face? We will not come up. You take too much upon yourself. Who do you think you are? You come to me if you want me. That's how disrespectful they were. People can be disrespectful, I'm telling you. My goodness. And they're proud of it, too. Let me show you something else. They were disrespectful. And listen to this other point. And they failed to see the authority of the Lord in Moses. It was like God telling them, you come up. Before the tabernacle, that was God. He wanted to come before the tabernacle, before the door of the tabernacle. That was God's presence would come. And he would call Dathan and Abiram to come up before the door of the tabernacle. Like God saying, y'all come forth. He did that to Miriam and Aaron. He said, y'all coming before the door of the tabernacle. And Miriam and Aaron, they came too. Because God's voice spoke. But God used Moses' voice this time to tell them, you come up. And they denied him. They denied God. Not only did they disrespect Moses and Aaron, who are they disrespected? God. They disrespected God because they wouldn't come up. That was a severity in this. It's just like when someone disrespects apostle, one lady said in the church apostle talk about it sometime, she said, oh, I don't ever listen to you. You know what we did? So much as carried her out. And she was mad too. Carry her out. Not only did she disrespect apostle, she disrespected God. You think God judged her? Yep, he didn't have to judge her. God judged already. She judged herself. She exposed her rebellion open before men, unashamedly. Sometimes, see, people don't realize how severe that is. That was open rebellion. My goodness. My goodness. So, When a man of God tells you to do something, you got to do it. The people thought, listen to this statement now. The people thought that they were merely opposing Moses and Aaron. They had not the slightest intention of being rebellious to God, for they still wished to serve him. See, the thing is, they couldn't put God and Moses together. They thought they were opposing Moses. They didn't know they were opposing the God in Moses. They were just nearsighted or farsighted. They couldn't see. That's good enough. They just couldn't see. They couldn't see the spiritual truth behind Moses being in God's stead, being in God's place. They couldn't discern. You can't separate a man of God and God. You can't. You can't. You can't. Now. So they still wish to serve God. They didn't know, they didn't, for they thought there was no offending God. They're between me and Moses, God. If they were to submit themselves to the authority of Moses and Aaron, listen to this, then they would have been subjected to God. Isn't that simple? Whenever you submit yourself to an apostle and to his leaders whom he delegated, his 12, his master bearers, you submit yourself to God. I'll submit myself to apostle, but I ain't care none about these master bearers. They don't carry no weight. You're not like an apostle appointed them, they have the authority. You see it? We got to transfer that authority. People don't understand it, and they miss God so bad. So bad. So bad. And the apostle didn't set that up. God set that up. He didn't make that up. God made it up. But people got, we got a right to choose. And God said, okay, choose. If you don't want to serve, then either obey or rebel. God said, we're putting life before you. And we're putting, what the other one was? Death. What you said to choose? Choose life. Simple. Choice. God gave us a choice, all right? God gave us a choice. Now, I'm almost through. Now, they thought they were submitting to God, but if you don't submit to Moses, you can't submit to God. It's impossible to submit to God without submitting to his man of God. Now, let's finish this now. I'm not finishing because it's got so much to say in here. Look at the 13th verse. I'm reading the whole chapter more. He said, is it a small thing that thou hast brought, that what the people say, that brought us up out of the land that flowed with Egypt, milk and honey, and to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us? You see what they were doing, huh? My goodness. Moreover, thou hast not brought us into a land of that flow with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of fields and vineyards. Will thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. See, that was their argument. That was their case. We will not come up because you didn't fulfill what you promised to us. You promised milk and honey, and we would kill us in the wilderness. Children hungry, and I ain't took a bath in 2 or 3 days. They start complaining about all this stuff, and now they're blaming them for that. And now God about to deal with it. Now watch what's going to happen here. We're almost there. And Moses was very wroth. I got 1:46 to finish this. And Moses was very wroth and said unto the Lord, respect not thou their offering. I have not taken one as from them. Neither have I heard one of them. Let's skip a little bit. And 17th verse. And take every man his censer and put incense in them and bring it before the Lord. Every man his censer, 250 censers. Thou also and Aaron, each of you put the censer, each of you his censer. And they took every man his censer and put fire in them and laid incense thereon and stood in the door of the tabernacle and of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. You see, sometimes the glory is just to bless. When the glory comes, sometimes you come to correct. I don't know how they say apostle. Well, there ain't the spirit there. That's not the spirit when the apostle corrected. Yes, it is. Same glory, bless. Same glory, correct. Because correction is protection. And the Lord said unto Moses and to Aaron, separate yourself from among the congregation, that may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of spirits of all flesh, shall one man stand and will thou be wrought with all the congregation? And the Lord spake unto Moses And he said, get up from among them. The tabernacle, Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up and went unto the Dathan and Abiram, and the elders followed him. And I want to get the way he sent the thing, the power and the fire and the ground cleared open. Y'all finna reading that. My time up. But you finna reading that? We're going to take up to here next week. And make sure you read it.